We're going to look at a passage of scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your Spirit here, present. We ask that you'd speak, Lord, continue to speak, inspire, build, Father, but also that we would be obedient, be responsive, Father, flow with you, not against you, and come into a place, Father God, of shalom, of peace. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The passage I've just read describes a process that the Holy Spirit invites each one of us to move with him upon. It is a sacred process. I know we use the word journey a lot in this church, but it is. It's a journey. It's a sacred invitation to move in a process of inner and outer transformation. It ultimately leads to love, agape. You see this progression from faith with diligence through to perseverance, blah, 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 brotherly kindness, love. It leads to love. And it is a process and a journey of learning to let go, of moving from the familiar to the unfamiliar, and learning how to truly trust God. I believe that God's primary desire for each one of us is that we would learn to trust him and let go. And in doing so, allow him to do his primary work of forming Christ within us. That's it. That's pretty much, in a nutshell, the whole of the Christian life. That Christ is formed in us so that we may love God and love our neighbor, and eventually love our enemy. Because it takes Christ in us to love our enemy. And it requires great courage and humility, this journey. But I believe God wants each one of us to take it, perhaps in different ways, at different times, for different lengths of time, and perhaps even for different reasons. But without this transformational journey, we'll never be able to fulfill the Bible's greatest commands to love God and to love each other. It just won't happen unless the Spirit of God is invited and we participate within him and with him in this journey to develop this great love. So what are the key markers in this process? I can see three. I can see a move from certainty to uncertainty. I can see a move from fear to childlike trust. And I can see a move from knowing about gnosis to intimately knowing by revelation and experience, epignosis, looking at the Greek. So from certainty to uncertainty, what do I mean by that? Well, you might be tempted to think that God wants you to have a life of ease and comfort. Easily understood, easily divided compartments in which we place him, without any struggle, without any kind of cost, without any hardship or sadness or pain or difficulty. If only. Wouldn't that be ace? You know, I believe it's like that beyond the veil. But certainly in this life, the biblical witness from Scripture, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and even our own testimony would suggest that it's not like that at all. That false prosperity, name it and claim it, you can have it if you believe it, everything will be rosy and God wants you to be happy, is a false gospel. It bears zero resemblance to the biblical witness. I can imagine Paul, after he's been shipwrecked, thinking that'd be a nice gospel to have, wouldn't it? The name it and claim it, not having to go through shipwreck and stoning and all that kind of gospel. I'll take that straight away. But no, it wasn't like that, because that is not the gospel. The gospel is highly, highly inconvenient to a carnal life. It is highly, highly inconvenient to a life of ease. Because the gospel is, will you come and die? Will you come and die? And every significant happening I see in the Bible starts with a move from the familiar, the knowing, the certain into the unknown. Think about it. There was Abraham, minding his own business, quite happy in his own home with his own family, and God calls to him, come out from there and let's go to a place that you don't know. What about Moses? Life of luxury in a palace. Has the burning bush experience. Comes out of Egypt and ends up being sent back into it in a completely different way. From the known to the unknown. What about David leaving his shepherd life behind to become king? What about Jesus, who was anointed of the Holy Spirit and led where? Into the wilderness, into the unknown, to be tempted. Well, what about Paul? Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, studied under Gamaliel, I think his name was, if I get that name right. According to the law, he was blameless. Boom, on the Damascus Road, he had to relearn everything in light of Jesus Christ. He had to lay aside everything that he knew about Scripture and how it interpreted it up until that point to reinterpret it in light of Christ. Known, unknown. Now, who was the great instigator of all of these movings? God! It was God! So if you think God wants you to sit on your bum and do nothing, that's not God. God is going to ask you to move from the known to the unknown all the time. And it's this process of moving towards love. Why? Because he wants to form himself in you. And to do that, you need to be leaving that which you know now to embrace that which he wants to show you. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. I believe that God shakes our assumptions. I believe he rocks our boats. I believe he demolishes our tents. And I believe he leads us into the wilderness, because otherwise we'll set up camp in our tent and stay there quite contently. Instead of being sojourners and pilgrims, we become campers. I'm going to camp in my tent of certainty. I'm going to stay where it's all safe. I'm going to stay where it requires zero faith because that's comfortable. Woo, comfort. And God's like, no, sorry. I'm going to do some shaking. I'm going to do some rocking. I'm going to call you out on the water. I'm going to show you what you really can do in me. Hallelujah. God will not sit idly by and allow your life to be consumed by idols. Do you know that? He's not going to let you do it. Because he loves you too much for that. He loves you too much to see your heart swayed and led by idols. By the idol of comfort, by the idol of ease, by the idol of prosperity, by all of these things that we put before him. He's not going to let, because you know what? They rob you of your life. They are stealing, thieving, life-nicking things, and they're horrid. Because you'll only find your true life when you obey one call. Take up your cross and follow me. I used to watch Ben-Hur and all of these things. My mum was a massive fan of any kind of Christian film. She used to watch him on repeat for hours, 4 hours of the Ten Commandments and Ben-Hur and Spartacus and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, me being a bit of a telly watcher, I used to sit and watch him with her. And I remember seeing the scene of Jesus carrying his cross and Simon the Cyrene coming and holding it for him. And in my mind, I'd formed this idea when I became a Christian of carrying your cross means that you're carrying it for somebody else for a short journey, and then they then get on it, and they die, and I've done my bit. I don't know how that got into my psyche, but it did. But do you know what God is actually asking you to do? You know, Jesus didn't come so that you didn't have to die. Jesus came so that when he calls you to die, you would have the same hope that he had of resurrection. Take up your cross and follow me means get the nails out. We're going to hang there for a while and something is going to die so that it can be resurrected. When God calls you to death, it is for the express purpose of bringing something back to life. There can be no resurrection without death. And yet we, because of the fear of death, run away from it all the time. We constantly fight against the moving of the Holy Spirit from the known to the unknown because we're afraid that when this death comes, something truly meaningful will die. And it won't. Something that's not meaningful, something that's insignificant will die so that it's replaced by something that has life. Genuine God Zoe life. Hallelujah. This is the death that God calls you into. He invites you into death with resurrection in mind. And a surrendered life in your soul will lead you into carnal death to have spirit-filled life. Hallelujah. Who wants that? Well, I want to see some crosses being carried. I want to see some dying. Because that's the only way that we're going to see it. Here's what that journey might look like for some of you. Your starting point might be in an area of knowing. God is good. Great. But somehow in your journey, you always put a but at the end of that phrase. God is good, but I'm terrible. God is good, but not towards me. God is love, but he doesn't like me very much. I love God, but I can't trust him enough to let him put that bit of my life to death. But. Perhaps your journey is a journey of learning to let go of that but. So that in childlike trust, you can say with all of your heart, God is love and he loves me. God is good, and he is good to me. I love God, and I want to release all of my life into his loving embrace. And the way I see it is like, God wants to embrace you like a small child is embraced. I don't know whether you've ever seen this, but I've done it with my own kids. You embrace them sometimes, and then they fight against you, trying to wriggle out of your arms, and you're just trying to hug them, and they just, no, no, no. And then they break out and run away. And then you know they need a hug. They're hurting. So you go and grab them again. But eventually they kind of just go in your arms. And they relax and they surrender and they receive. For some of us here today, we're like that child in the arms of God. We've allowed this but to be this wriggling that goes on. God loves me, but... And God will just keep on embracing you and keep on embracing you until you are prepared to surrender. And when you surrender, you will move from a head knowledge that God is love to a heart knowledge that is so powerful, it resets the entire direction of your life. You know, I have realized over the last few years... In particular, the depth of the love of God for me. I was always a performer, okay? I would always have an economy of exchange before God. If I do this, then God must do that. If I just work hard enough or believe hard enough or have enough faith, then God must do X, do Y, do Z. He must love me because I am so great. Yeah, it almost seems like year after year, God is breaking that down. Why? Because he doesn't want me to have a but next to God is love. You know what? When you get that revelation that God is love, and you know it for yourself, and you move from it being something that you believe because the Bible tells you so to something you believe because not only has the Bible said it, but you've actually experienced it. Man, it takes on power. Ooh, I could run against a troop. It takes on, it's like 2D to 3D. It's like black and white to color. You try and describe color to somebody that's never seen it, you can't. And you know what? You'll never get to that place where you understand these things experientially by doing word studies of the Bible. You can study love, 1 Corinthians 13, from now until the day you die. But if you're not prepared to surrender into his loving embrace, you will never experience that depth of being kissed by the Lord, embraced by the Lord, accepted by the Lord. You'll never do it. Now, are Bible facts good? Yes. But Bible facts alone don't do anything. They have to have revelation. You have to move from gnosis to epignosis, from head knowledge to heart knowledge, in order to move from confidently from the known to the unknown. The reason we don't trust God is because we think somehow God's going to let us down. Perhaps we've had disappointments. Perhaps we felt that in our journey, somewhere along the line, that a prayer hasn't been answered, or I'm still struggling with X, Y, and Z, or like Marg was saying, that breakthrough just hasn't come yet. But I want you to know that God is faithful. And perhaps part of your journey is enduring this painful cross so that he can bring something new back to life. I can't imagine that the cross is a painless thing, can you? I imagine that when God says, take up your cross, that it's going to be a painful experience. Because, you know, the things that we have in our hearts that are counter God, anti God, and they're all there. Let's be honest about this. Okay, when they're taken away from us, It hurts. There is pain associated with it. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We've got to see beyond this pain, folks. We've got to see that on the other side of this sense of unknowing, of uncertainty, of fear, there is a safety in the arms of God that will keep you. God is love, and in him there is no darkness. His light is no darkness in him. When he holds you because he loves you, and he wants to change you into the image of Christ. Oh, you can trust that God is a safe place when you are ready to let go of your control. He really does know best. He knows the eternal quality of the purpose that he's given you. He knows how to get you to your destiny. And he is the one that knows the path that you must tread to get there. He has given us Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be with us always, even to the end of the age. You know, the great promise of God for my life is that, lo, he is with me. So it doesn't really matter what I face, he is with me. It doesn't really matter what you face, he is with you. And he is the one that gives us each other. I need you. You need each other. You need me. The grace gift of God that's in me needs to be able to connect with the grace gift of God that's in you. And that gift needs to be shared amongst one another. Why? Because it's in that place that we become the body, where every joint supplies, where I may have an answer for you and you may have an answer for me. So it requires a move from fear to trust. Trust in God, but also trust in each other. And that's not to say there won't be moments of uncertainty or even let down where a relationship is broken or trust is broken and we need to forgive one another and restore that relationship. But you're in my life for a reason, and I'm in your life for a reason. And you know what? When our spirit connects in the gift of God, we find what that reason is. Every joint supplies. So my challenge to you today, and it's a really simple one, is this. God is saying to you this. Will you trust me? When I cast my light into an area of shadow in your life where you trust in idols, will you trust my light to lead you beyond loss, beyond pain, beyond grief, beyond suffering, beyond death, into the life of the resurrection on the other side of this trial? Will you trust the promise of my abiding spirit, who is the great certainty in the midst of your uncertainty? Will you trust that? Will you take up your cross and follow me? I'm going to stop there. I just want to invite the worship team just to come and minister. But this is a time really for you to, you don't need to come out for prayer. Just want you to talk to the Lord about these things that you've heard today. Perhaps being challenged about. Perhaps answer those questions of trust. And allow the Holy Spirit to do something in you and invite you perhaps to a new journey. Perhaps to a new process. Let me read again that process. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand together and let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for this wonderful sacred process, this wonderful journey. I pray that you would speak to each one of us now. Illuminate our hearts. Illuminate our minds. Help us to understand, Holy Spirit, how you want to lead us forward. How you want us to embrace the change from known to unknown and trust you in the midst of it. And Holy Spirit, I pray that as we seek you right now, Father, there would be these breakthroughs. There would be these moving forwards, Father, in a way perhaps that we haven't for such a long time. We trust you, Holy Spirit. We know that you are good. We know that you are love. We know that you are light. Come bring that now in the name of Jesus.